The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Very special guest. I don't want to keep him waiting because soon he'll be the next governor of the state of New Jersey and he'll stop taking my calls. So Jack Cittarelli, my man, my friend, what's going on?
Two things, Rich. Two things. In 103 days, we are going to make that happen because we are going to win. And the second thing is I will always take your call.
I'm going to hold you to that, Governor. I'm going to hold you to that. You're working very hard. And this week was a big announcement. Your running mate, your lieutenant governor candidate. And this is a big deal because he's a very popular guy. He's a law enforcement guy. So who'd you pick?
We picked James Gannon, the sheriff of Morris County. And this guy's a decorated local law enforcement professional of 40-plus years, one of the most decent people you'll ever meet. And I can't wait to introduce him to the people of New Jersey who are going to fall in love, just as I did 10 years ago. He's a great guy, a great lieutenant governor he's going to be. And listen, Rich, one of the top four issues in this race is public safety. Yep. Nonviolent crime is through the roof in New Jersey, flash mobs on our Jersey shore. We're going to get back to being a law and order state, keeping our community safe. That's what the people want. Jim Gannon is part of that answer.
And Jack, I saw that video years ago when he was on vacation with his family at the airport in Orlando, and he helped law enforcement tackle a guy who was out of control and out of his mind. So even when he was on vacation, he was still working for law and order.
Rich, he's been a superhero so many times, solving numerous murder cases and the like, and yet does it in the most humble of ways. You'd never know it, of how capable and competent this guy is. And, hey, listen, heaven forbid something happened to me, I'm also guaranteeing the people of New Jersey this guy can take over the reins on day one.
Well, you're doing 25 miles a day on the Peloton. I think you're going to be just fine, Jack Cittarelli. But
I'm not going anywhere, Ridge.
No, you're not. And you're rolling up your sleeves and you're working hard. And a metaphor for that is your pizza making ability. I've been watching your social media at Jack4NJ. And you've been going into pizzerias and making pies and rolling up your sleeves and tossing the pies and making the pie. And I got to say, as a guy who makes pizza in my backyard, your technique is pretty good, my friend.
Well, it better be with that vowel at the end of my name. But listen, you want to get to know New Jerseyans, hang out pizzerias, coffee shops and diners. Every time my pollster says time for another poll, I say, yeah, you go do your poll. I'm going to a diner or pizzeria. People tell you straight up how you're doing. And I'll tell you, everywhere I go, Rich, people telling us they're ready for change.
The electricity rates, the graph that our mutual friend Matt Rooney posted today showing the spike in electricity rates. And I read today again, the rates are about to go up again because New Jersey has to buy more energy out of state. This is as real as it gets, Jack. Everywhere I go, people are talking about their energy bills. Everywhere I go. And I had somebody the other day at my son's soccer clinic, and he said to me, he goes, we're not even running our AC that much right now. And our rates are still the roof. I don't understand what's going on.
In 2018, Rich, New Jersey was an electricity exporter. Today, we're an importer. We got to go to these exchanges and pay through the nose for it because Phil Murphy's failed us, the Trenton Democrats have failed us, and my opponent, Mike and Cheryl, failed us. She supports Phil Murphy's energy policies. Wind is never going to meet our energy demand. We need to burn natural gas. We need to expand our nuclear footprint. I will do both. But here's the most insulting part. My opponent is blaming the White House for the electric bills in New Jersey. So I remind people, if you get up in the morning, you go downtown and the traffic light isn't working, get ready for her to blame the White House.
Your opponent is nuts, Jack. I'm sorry, but Mikey Sherrill's nuts. The fact that she's back in this lunatic in New York, Mandami, who wants to have government-run grocery stores, and you know, I mean, his let's say no more say globalize the intifada. Like, give me a freaking break. I mean, this guy is nuts. And my grandma, an Italian, and my grandfather, who came from Caivano, Italy, used to say, you judge a person by the character of the company they keep. And if she's willing to endorse this guy and back this guy, that means she's nuts too, Jack.
It's a disqualifier, Rich. And listen, I got to hand it to her primary opponent, who is also a Democratic congressman from North Jersey, Josh Gottheimer. He's been beating the hell out of Mandami because he knows the guy's a quack and should never even be a candidate, let alone a mayor of New York City. So, again, it's a disqualifier. But listen, she's the same person who voted yes twice to allow biological males to play in female sports.
Yep.
This is a mother of two daughters. This is somebody who voted no on the Lake and Riley Act. Now, you're here illegally. You broke the law once. And while you're here, you committed a crime. You broke the law twice. We're not supposed to incarcerate you. She voted no on that bill.
That's, I mean, again, disqualifier right there, no doubt about it. Jack Chiarelli's with us, the next governor of New Jersey. It's great to have him on the show. He's working hard every single day, traveling the state, not taking a second of this campaign off. Jack, I think another thing, too, that everybody is discussing right now, you mentioned it, the transgender issue. I saw a poll recently. About 70% are on the side of common sense on this issue. I think it's even higher than that. I think it's more like 90%. Another issue where parents are talking about this, schools, education, and this notion that parents should have a say in their kids' education. It's everything right now. As a parent of three kids, 10, 8, and 5, it's the number one issue besides electricity rates that I keep hearing about.
Hey, like electricity rates, like law, public safety, public education is, again, one of the big issues this year. As governor, I'll get it on track on day one. I'm calling for the resignation of all those that sit on the State Board of Education that have made all those changes to the public school curriculum that is not in the best interest of our kids. There's subject matter that belongs at home, at the kitchen table, between parents and their children, not in school. And on day one, my attorney general gets rid of policy 5756. School districts will no longer be keeping secrets from parents, Rich. It's immoral, it's right. Indecent, it's wrong, and I believe it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. It is. And it's just absolutely wrong to keep parents out of the process, Jack. No question about it. I do have one question for you, though. I heard you with my friend and colleague, Dom Giordano, and you talked about pizza and you put anchovies and no cheese. And I get that our people say no cheese with fish. I get that. But still, I mean, I feel like
now,
that's a bridge
too far.
Let me ask
you something.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer your question with a question. Have you ever tried an anchovy pie, no cheese?
I have not. And I love anchovies, but I like cheese too. So, you know.
Can you do me a favor? Give it a try. But, Rich, as you know, when people do something that Italians don't accept, like putting cheese on fish, we call them americans.
That's right. Yes. Americano. I agree. I know. Americano. I know. And I got yelled at in Italy because my parents asked for grated cheese to put on linguine vongole. And the woman said to them, Americano, no cheese and no cheese. So I guess you're technically right. I mean, you know, but.
Hey, listen, I was with somebody in Italy who ordered the linguine white clam sauce. And it came to the table, and they put cheese on top of it. The waiter came over, took it away, and brought another one out and said, don't do that again.
I almost took away their visa. Would have let him stay. Jack, your work, you mentioned the summer. You mentioned the boardwalk. You mentioned what's happening at the Jersey Shore. I don't think a lot of people are aware of it, but, I mean, the weekends at the Jersey Shore in some spots, luckily it's been, I mean, for us down here, but luckily, you know, it's been mostly North Jersey. But, I mean, crazy fights, crazy crowds, out of control. And, again, it's just become a culture of lawlessness under Governor Murphy and the Democrats.
And much of it is done by minors because there's no consequence.
Yeah.
Rich. So here's the deal under Governor Chiarelli. If you're a 16 or 17-year-old, you engage in things like flash mobs anywhere in New Jersey, let alone our Jersey Shore and the boardwalk, we're going to charge you as an adult. And if you go another year, we're down on the fence, we'll give you a clean record so you can go into life clean. But if you're under 16 years of age, we're going to fine the parents. There's got to be a consequence. Right now, there's no consequence. And that's why we end up with this kind of chaos.
Yeah, it's chaos. And the other issue is the commuter tax in New York City, because there are people that have to commute for work. I was talking to a guy the other day at the pool. He drives into New York for work 3 days a week. Poor guy from South Jersey. And I mean, it's killing him. And you know, again, this is Murphy talks a lot, does nothing about it. You're an Italian. You're not going to let this go. I mean, you're not going to let New York bully us around like this, are you, Jack Chiarelli?
We are not going to let this go. There's 400,000 New Jerseyans that go into Manhattan. The nexus of their job is Manhattan. They're a $2 billion windfall to New York in terms of taxes. How dare they try to fix their subway system on the backs of New Jerseyans? And so if they go ahead with that plan, here's the deal. Any New York plate that comes through the tunnels or over the bridge in the morning into New Jersey, I'm going to hit them with our own congestion pricing fee, and I'll fix New Jersey transit.
That's the Jersey way.
That's the Jersey way. We got to retaliate. Come on, we're not going to be pushed around.
Hell no, absolutely not. No way. No way. Your coattails, my man, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, during the primary when you were on my show and the president backed you. And one of the reasons why, of course, was your coattails. And we got the assembly and we have a real chance now to take control of the legislature because you got some really good candidates up and down the ballot. And here's the key. Two things, Jack, as you know. Number one, that Fugazi Rutgers poll. And for people that are Metagons, Fugazi means fake. That Fugazi Rutgers poll, ridiculous. Just like that stupid Monmouth poll that came out before the election in 2021. Just an absolute joke. Disgrazia. Number two, though, of course, is the poll that came out by that PAC that wants to see you as governor. It shows that New Jerseyans want change. In every single area, they say the state's on the wrong track. It's too expensive. It's on the wrong track. They want change. This is a change election. You're the change candidate. And with that change comes not only the governor's office, but also potentially the state assembly, which then gives Republicans amazing control in Trenton, something we have not had in decades. This is the year of change.
Rich, that poll that came out of the Eagleton Institute at Rutgers the day after the primary that had me down, according to them, 21 points. Last time against Phil Murphy had me down 41 points. It's the same polling institute that said Kamala Harris was going to win New Jersey by 20 plus. We know how that went last November. So there's been three other polls that have this thing as a dead heat, which is right where we'd expect it to be. But here's all you need to know. The Democratic Governors Association has made a statement that they're going to pour millions into here to try to get Mikey Sher elected. Why? Why would they do that if she had a 21-point lead? She doesn't have a 21-point lead. And by the way, she's never even cited that poll because she knows how bad it is. So we're right where we need to be, and I'm all in on producing a Republican majority. I flipped 8 seats back in 21 with the wind in my face. I got some serious wind at my back this time around. We could flip at least 13 seats and get something we haven't had in 25 years, a Republican majority in our state legislature.
No, it's true. I mean, you got the momentum. I can feel it. And it's just little anecdotal things. I mean, people know who you are. And I think having run statewide once before is such an asset because we know that that's helped people in the past who've run statewide once before and then they won the second time around. And number two, nobody knows who Mikey Sherrill is. But when they find out who she is, when they learn about her and her record and the fact that she's a Democrat in Congress and that she enriched herself and made millions and millions of dollars while being a member of Congress, they hear all these things and they go, my God, this sounds like a nightmare. And it, already in a change election year mindset where they want change, Jack. So, yeah, the wind is definitely on our side this time. No doubt.
And, Rich, shame on her. I mean, just be serving on the House Intelligence Committee and then be trading defense stocks?
Yeah.
I mean, ridiculous. Is she not worried about the perception of that? What a degree of arrogance. But she was found guilty of violating federal law on stock trades and stock reporting for Congress people. It's another disqualifier. People cannot stand it when elected officials use their position to enrich themselves.
Now, I don't want my parents to stay in New Jersey, but a lot of people do want their parents to stay in New Jersey. I'm just kidding if my mother's listening. How do we make it so that people can stay and not have to leave when they retire, Jack? What does Governor Cittarelli do for them?
Well, the first thing we do is what Pennsylvania does, make all retirement income tax free. We shouldn't be taxing retirement income. The only thing we need to do is freeze property taxes for life once you hit age 70, so people don't have to deal with the insecurity of wondering whether or not they could stay in their homes. And those are two things right off the bat that are both fiscally responsible and would have huge impact with our senior citizen community and tell them very loudly and clearly, I want you to stay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a big deal. I mean, that would absolutely keep people in the state in an amazing, amazing way. Jack, before I let you go, you know, there's a lot of government in New Jersey, as we all know, authorities. And I mean, there's so much government. There's so much waste. And the budget that Murphy and the Democrats in Trenton just passed is the most expensive budget ever in New Jersey history. How do we rein all this in? How does Governor Cittarelli rein all this in?
By electing a CPA, and that's exactly what I am, and I'll roll my sleeves up. We are going to downsize and be very responsible about downsizing a bloated state government. I'll reduce its size and cost to afford a tax cut for individuals, and most importantly, just as importantly, rather, for businesses as well, so we can compete with states like Pennsylvania. But without a doubt, Rich, it's bloated. I'll give you one example. There's one aspect of state government that serves no value, and that's the 21 county superintendents. okay? Our Board of Education flies solo. There really is no value brought to the table. And I'm not disrespecting the people that work in those offices, but it's just one example. Talk to anybody at Ground Zero in our 600 Board of Educations across the state. The county superintendents bring no value to the table whatsoever. None. So those are places that we can cut and downsize our state government very responsibly.
So you got a sheriff who's a running mate. Law and order is going to be a priority. But I got to tell you, and I love you, Jack, and I've known you a long time, and you and I consider you a friend. You know, we've gone to games together. We've hung out. I've done events for you. I'm doing more events for you coming up this fall. But it is sauce. It's not gravy. It's only gravy when you put meat in it. Come on, Jack.
In our house, it was only sauce when it was fish. So we make a fish sauce. Otherwise, it's a gravy, Rich. Come on, don't let me down. Don't make me call you a minigun here. You're not a minigun.
Oh, man. This is to be continued, all right? Jack Cittarelli, follow him at Jack4NJ. We got the momentum. Sign up your friends. Get them interested in this race. Get them to volunteer, and let's do this. Jack, we'll be talking again soon, my friend. Keep up the fight.
Great. Thank you, Rich. And one last thought. It's macaroni, not pasta. See you next time.
I love how you said one last sauce. It's like, what's on Cittarelli's brain right now as he's working the state and doing his 25 miles on his Peloton? All right, Governor. Thank you.
All right, man. Looking forward to next time.
Sounds good.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, as we continue along the show today, that is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VANARIA, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. 12 consecutive years, Dr. Mike has been named a master of implant dentistry. So, go see him for your perfect smile. All right, Hulk Hogan passed away. It's a big shame. It's a heartbreaking loss. It really is, and we're going to talk about that. We got a great audio for you, and I'd love to hear from you your thoughts and memories of Hulk Hogan, and if you ever got to see him in person. I saw him at the RNC. I also got to see him at WrestleMania many, many times when I was a kid growing up. Real American baby, absolutely. So we'll talk about that. 855-839-1210, and we're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Hulk Hogan, he was a real American baby, and damn shame. Deaths come in threes, but I was told by Tony Bruno and Miss Robin that it was four this week. But, growing up as a kid in the 80s and watching wrestling and WrestleMania, and when Hulk Hogan took on the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff, and obviously his big rival was Rowdy Roddy Piper, and they didn't like each other in real life when they were wrestlers, and then they became good friends, and they used to text every day until Rowdy Roddy Piper passed. But, I was at the RNC this summer, as I mentioned, when Hogan took the stage. And we were joking, or we've had this joke on the show with Linda McMahon that I was the inspiration for that, because I did an interview with Linda McMahon, and then I told her how I was a kid who grew up loving Hulk Hogan, and then she picked up her phone and started texting somebody, and the next thing you know, it was announced that Hogan was speaking at the RNC. It was not one of the planned guests. So we've taken credit for that ever since. And we always will, because, you know, that's how we do things. But I'm curious if you ever got to see Hulk Hogan wrestle at WrestleMania, or if you ever met him. So let me know. 855-839-1210. And I just think it was, I don't know, it's the end of an era that was just a fun. The 80s wrestling was fun, and World Wrestling Federation back then, as it was called, before it became WWE. And Hogan was the guy with the American flag, and he was the real American, and, you know. So he gets up at the RNC, the Republican National Convention, and he delivers a speech. It's 9 minutes long, and the crowd goes crazy as soon as he walked into the arena, because he walked in like it was a wrestling event. And he's carrying the American flag as he's walking in, and obviously the media, the corporate legacy media, hates that. They hate the idea that the Hulkster's having some fun. And by the way, the president put out a statement on the Hulk's passing, and I'll get to that in just a second as well. But he lit up the room. He lit up the crowd. I mean, that's what he did. He was a showman of the utmost degree. But for him, it was personal. And he sat down with Bret Baier before he, you know, because he had a personality where he could obviously turn it up, but he could turn it off too. And we remember him in Rocky III as Thunder Lips, and then after the fight, he walks over and shakes Rocky's hand. And so he was a normal guy, but he was a performer. He was an entertainer. But he sat down with Bret Baier and he explained why he was why he wanted to be there, why he wanted to talk to the RNC. And I believe if this is which one is this now, Matt? Is this with Bret?
21.
21. All right, cut 21.
Crowd behind you. Oh, you're going to speak to him.
I can't wait. This is going to be like body slamming the Giant at WrestleMania.
What brought you out here? Why are you here?
Well, you know, Brett, I got tired of remaining silent. You know, I sat back and watched the borders collapse. I watched the economy collapse. You know, I watched the price of gas, the price of food, everything just do an upside down flip. And when they took a shot at my hero, Donald Trump, I realized that I couldn't be silent anymore. You know, I had to step up. I had to be a real American, just like all these real Americans here in Donald Trump. I have a voice, too, and I want people to know it's time to talk. It's time not to be silent anymore.
I saw your post.
So the president put out a statement on Truth Social a short time ago. He said, "We lost a great friend today, the Hulkster. Hulk Hogan was MAGA all the way. Strong, tough, smart, but with the biggest heart. He gave an absolutely electric speech at the Republican National Convention that was one of the highlights of the entire week. He entertained fans from all over the world, and the cultural impact he had was massive. To his wife, Sky, and family, we gave our warmest best wishes and love. Hulk Hogan will be greatly missed." And he actually became a Christian last week, too, which I didn't realize, but... So I wanted to play this for you. This is from the Republican National Convention when he said, "Let Trumpomania run wild." So let's go cut number 20, RNC speech. Take a listen.
What happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States.
The thing with the ear to the crowd, which was his famous thing back in the day, you know what I mean? But they loved it, and it was great showmanship. It was fantastic. It's funny too, because the criticism that they're like, "Oh my God, Hulk Hogan spoke at the RNC." Yeah, because you know how many working class people went to wrestling events? A lot. Like I mean, that was what we did. Like, I went to WrestleMania. I loved WrestleMania. I loved wrestling. They had a cartoon. I had the thumb wrestling figures. I had the action figures. I loved wrestling. Me and my buddies would make a wrestling magazine. It was huge for growing up in that time. So if you were there at the RNC and Hulk Hogan's up there at the RNC and he's fired up about what they did to President Trump, it's a big deal. But let's understand Linda McMahon, who is the queen of wrestling, who built the empire, is now the education secretary, as we all know. But she was in the president's first cabinet. President Trump was involved with the World Wrestling Entertainment for years. He made all kinds of different appearances there, and you know he was close to McMahon. She served as his SBA director during the first administration. Now her job is to get herself out of a job by body slamming the Department of Education out of existence. So Linda McMahon sat down with me at the RNC and we did an interview. And this is when she called the show after. And I joked with her and said that, you know, it was kind of my idea of why Hoke spoke at the RNC, and she played right along with the joke, but cut 22. When you were with me at the Republican National Convention, you remember you came on my show, it was a Monday. We had a great chat. We caught up. It was wonderful to see you again. We had a really nice talk, and you did a great interview on the show. And then when the interview ended, we took some pictures together, and I made a comment to you about how I loved Hulk Hogan growing up. He was one of my heroes. And then Hulk Hogan shows up Thursday night at the Republican National Convention. Linda McMahon, can I take credit for Hulk Hogan showing up at the RNC?
Oh, absolutely. Take full credit for it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, because I have been in my head for the whole time, but I was hoping you could confirm that for us. So you've done me a big favor here. I can't thank you enough. You made my day.
You're so welcome.
Obviously, probably was not my idea, but nevertheless, she was more than happy to play along with it. But she got the joke. Hulk got the joke. President Trump gets a joke, too. And the power of entertainment and the power of the fact that Hulk was the champion for America in the 80s when he would wrestle people like Nikolai Volkov. So I want to actually play. I mean, I think this is it's significant. I really do. For a lot of people growing up in that era, and it was the East versus the West. It was America versus Russia versus the Soviet Union. So before this fight that he had with Nikolai Volkov, they asked him, remember Mean Gene? So they asked him why he was going to fight him. And I'm only going to play a little bit of this for you right now. I'll play more of it later. But this is cut 26. Take a listen to this.
I can't stand to see our enemy's flag in the ring. That's why I'm carrying the red, white, and blue, brother. I'm proud of America. I stand for this country. And I'm going to promise you one thing. When this fight is over tonight, there's only going to be one flag standing. That's the Stars and Stripes forever.
Nikolai Volkov, perhaps sensing victory.
There you go. So he won. Hulk won the fight, obviously. And it was a big deal. But that's what I mean. It was that the nostalgia when Hulk came at the RNC, it was back that whole, we can be America and the Stars and Stripes. And it was a nostalgia for people. That mattered. It really did. And it was saying, hey, we can love our country. He was a symbol of that for a lot of kids who grew up in the 80s, Gen X. It was a symbol of that because back then it was East versus West. It was communism versus the United States. And a lot of those themes played out, believe it or not, in wrestling, in the World Wrestling Federation, the WWF back then. Same thing with the Iron Sheik. Being the guy from Iran, same thing. It was that. So when he spoke at the RNC and everybody went wild, people loved it. Yeah, I mean, it was really, really fun. And the president spoke and thanked him at the RNC after that close to 10-minute speech that the Hulkster gave at the convention. This is cut 25.
About the Hulkster, how good was he? Is he where is he? Boy, oh boy. You know, they may call that entertainment. I know about entertainment, but when he used to lift a 350-pound man over his shoulders and then bench press him two rows into the audience, I said, maybe entertainment, but he is one strong son of a gun. I will tell you, I watched it many times. There aren't a lot of entertainers that can do that, right? You were fantastic.
That's very true. He was. And one of the more memorable speakers at the RNC, along with the just everyday people that spoke, unlike the DNC, where it was all celebrities. It was all highly paid celebrities. And one thing I heard Tony Bruno talk about, and again, if you have any memories of Hulk, make Matt DeSantis work, call the show, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, and give me your favorite Hulk Hogan memory, because I want to share in this with you, because this is our childhood, at least my childhood anyway, 855-839-1210. But I was listening to Tony Bruno and Robin take calls on this, Ed. A woman called up and said she met Hulk at the vet. And he pulled up and just parked his car in the parking lot and She walked right over to him and said hello. He was just a very down-to-earth, regular guy. And people that knew Hulk Hogan knew that he was like that. So that's a big deal. And sad to lose him, no doubt about that. Oh, and Governor Ron DeSantis was giving a speech about Hulk Hogan's passing, and some insane leftist started screaming profanities. This is cut number 19.
About the Hulkster.
Yeah, it was sad to see the news that Hulk Hogan passed away today. He was a major icon for anybody in Gen X. I can tell you, growing up then in the 80s and particularly the early 90s, he was really big. And he actually really was a star first before even he was Hulkamania, but when he was Thunder Lips in Rocky III. And that was like a huge, huge deal. I mean, obviously, that was a great movie franchise with Sylvester Stallone. So he was Thunder Lips, and then a couple years later became the World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion. And, you know, as a young kid, like, you know, I'm growing up, and it's like, you know, that was like somebody's like, wow, that's our superhero kind of deal. And the fact that he was from a Tampa Bay area when I'm growing up there, I was like, oh, my gosh, like this guy lives in our area. And, you know, back then when they would do these big events like WrestleMania, you could go to it, which obviously I wasn't in a position to be able to go to. But they didn't have even pay-per-view where you would pay for it to come on the cable. They had closed circuit. So you could go to like a venue and they would play it on like a really big screen. And so like the first few WrestleManias, I think, were like that. And I remember WrestleMania 3. He was up. Hey, stop. Get out of here. Get out of here. So you used to have the closed circuit. So you would go and you would have that, and then you'd just kind of watch it. So I just remember like WrestleMania 3, he's fighting Andre the Giant. And look, I was a kid. I didn't know that it was choreographed, right? I mean, I was like really worried that he was going to be able to.
I didn't know it was choreographed. None of us did. We all thought it was real. We did. We did as kids. We thought it was real. So in that fight with Nikolai Volkov, when I thought he was going to lose, and then in the end he winds up doing that thing. Hulk used to do this thing where you'd punch him, and he would stand there, and he would seem to get stronger as you punched him, as you shoved him, and it seemed like he was getting more powerful. And obviously that was choreographed, but at the time they didn't know. They were just like, oh my God. They're punching Hulk. They're punching the Hulk, and he's getting stronger. And then he would throw him off the ropes, and then he would come down on him with his elbow. You know what I mean? And then pin him, and then the American flag would come out, and Hulk would start waving that flag. Ah, it was great. It was great. So symbolic of the 80s. Really was. So if you're a kid like Ron DeSantis was, and I was during all that, then the guy comes and speaks at the RNC and backs Trump, you feel like that's... Remember how I told you how the Democrats have a problem with guys, with men? And it seems like all the alpha males in the world are there with the Republicans now. They're with Trump. They're with the... You know what I mean? Like if you're an alpha male... Well, it doesn't get more alpha male than Hulk Hogan. It doesn't get more alpha than professional wrestlers. Or nowadays, it's really UFC. I mean, UFC has kind of taken over in that sense. Dana White and UFC, and they're doing a UFC fight on the South Lawn of the White House. Which I know some people are offended by that idea. They don't like the idea of the South Lawn being used for that. I get that point. But I think the UFC has kind of eclipsed wrestling nowadays anyway in terms of its popularity. And Trump goes to all these UFC fights. And when he walks in, the place goes wild. And these UFC fighters now, you talk about alpha males. And when Trump walks into a UFC fight, the crowd goes wild. You know where all those voters are. And I would argue, without really doing any scientific polling, that most of the people there, even though those tickets get very, very expensive, but the bulk of the people there work for a living. And by work for a living, I mean they have a job that's outside of a faculty lounge. They're not a professor of something. They're not a professor of gender studies. In fact, those people that are probably want to see UFC shut down because, oh, it's barbaric, and they're promoting violence, our violent culture, and look at the symbolism of the West with its violence against the colonial indigenous people. Like, what? It's just the two guys getting on stage, beating the hell out of each other for a lot of money. And UFC is real. Unlike wrestling, it's real. But anyway, Drew's in Mount Laurel. Drew, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Hey, Rich. Just wanted to share my favorite Hulk Hogan moment, and that was when he appeared in Rocky III as Thunderlips, the exhibition match that Rocky put on. And then Rocky thought it was going to be an exhibition match, but Thunderlips had other ideas and winds up, you know, slamming him down and knocking him around, and then picking him up and throwing him down the audience about four or five rows in.
Great scene.
That was great.
That was fantastic. Thunderlips. You can't forget that scene in Rocky III. That was key.
Yep, that was awesome. That's my memory of Hulk.
Thank you, Drew. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Anytime.
Appreciate it. Kim's in Bucks County. Kim, how are you?
Hi, good, Rich. How are you?
Doing well.
My memory of Hulk, first of all, I'm in my mid-50s, so I grew up watching him, watching WrestleMania. I was going to Kitty City down in Frills Hills and getting his autograph, waiting probably a good 2 to 3 hours when I was 10 years old with my dad. And just seeing him in person like that was amazing.
And was he nice when you met him?
He was. I mean, obviously, it was very quick. There was a lot of people there, a lot of frustrated parents. I see them down at the old, I guess it was the old Spectrum down in Philly twice. I was a big wrestling fan growing up. I mean, he was just the icon. He was awesome. But just to see him in like that and get the autograph. Of course, Dad was a little impatient waiting in line with me for that long. But we stuck it out and got the autograph. It was just, he was a good person, very decent.
That's a sweet story, Kim. Thanks for sharing it with us. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you for taking the call, Rich. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Yeah, even Mama Zioli chimed in that my uncle got to meet Hulk, waited in line to get his autograph. Hogan did a lot of charity events, too. He did a lot of charity events for various groups. He was very generous and gracious with his time. And like I mentioned, I think I saw that it was about a week ago or so that he officially, I guess, was baptized. So, it's a big loss. It was sad. I was actually texting with Greg Stocker earlier today about something else, and I was picking up my son from soccer, and he said to me, "Hulk died. Hulk Hogan died." I said, "Oh my God!" All of a sudden, phone starts blowing up. It's like one of those things where all of a sudden everybody's talking about it, and they drop everything, and everybody goes to it. And I saw that even Fox News dropped all their programming, and the people that I knew that were supposed to go on were getting bumped. And then, you know, next thing you know, you've got them taking the police conference live and everything else. So definitely an impact. Yes, Justin, thank you. Hulking up. That's the term for it. When the Hulk would hulk up, when his opponent would start shoving him, and he would seem to get stronger and stronger and stronger. But there's something to the success of that. World Wrestling, what they built, what Linda McMahon built, that's why I know Linda McMahon is the right person who will tear down the Department of Education. Because if she could build an empire, she can certainly tear down a government bureaucracy. You know what I mean? She can pile drive that government bureaucracy right into the ground, the Department of Education. She's one of the smartest people that I've ever met, ever. Linda McMahon, one of the smartest people. She was SBA administrator. She came on the show a lot back then in the first term, and now at the DOE. And then during the campaign, she came on the show a bunch of times. Kind and gracious, super rich, obviously. They built an empire. And part of building the empire was they told great stories, because they made these characters. They had the good guys and the bad guys. Remember, there was a period of time, too, when the Hulk was a bad guy. There was a little storyline with that, too. But ultimately, that was short-lived, and he'll be remembered as being the American fighter, the real American, the fighter. You know what I mean? So it was perfect that it was eclipsed with really his final big public appearance being that speech at the RNC when it backed President Trump and said, you know, you come after my president, you come after me, you come after all of us, you come after all the Trumpomaniacs, the Hulkamaniacs, the Trumpomaniacs. It was great stuff. All right, we got a lot to talk about as the show goes on today, including how is it South Park can take all these shots at Trump and not get taken off the air, but Stephen Colbert does? Does it make you wonder that maybe there's more to the story about Stephen Colbert than meets the eye, like the fact that he's just not good and not talented and not funny? I'll explain. Plus, the president is very angry at Jerome Powell, the Fed. We'll talk about that as well. But, you know, speaking of Mama Scioli, she introduced me to Dr. Mike Veneria, and he's our dentist and he's our friend. And for 12 years, other dentists have recommended Dr. Mike when they've needed to send their patients for complicated dental work. That's right. Named the best of the best for 12 consecutive years. And even other doctors go to him. Dr. Maz, yep, he goes to Dr. Mike. That's right. My buddy, the Dr. Mazzarelli, Dr. Mike Veneria is his dentist. And Dr. Maz obviously takes his health very seriously. He gave Bridget a beautiful smile last year. She needed her veneers replaced. He gave her beautiful caps. Her smiles never looked more beautiful. And he'll give you the smile of your dreams as well. You get a free implant consultation. And stop putting it off, too. Pain-free dentistry is available if you need it. And he can be your entire family's dentist, just like he's mine. Because Patrick, Claire, and Reagan, and Bridget, and me, and Mama Scioli, and Papa Scioli, they all go to Dr. Mike. Two locations for you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, both right over the bridge. Great people, great staff, great music playing. And he is obsessed with patient care. We've got these chain dental offices out there nowadays. They're obsessed with one thing, cost. Not Dr. Mike. He is about patient care, and that's what sets him apart, and that's why you should reach out to him today. 856-786-2020, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, it's...
We expect the president to speak soon. We'll bring it to you live. Dr. Victoria Coates is going to join us a little bit later today. It was interesting. I was actually, until Hogan died, we were going to have another guest on the show. And I kind of debated this back and forth. Meghan McCain, who lately has been, I wouldn't say MAGA. I don't think she's MAGA, but she's been certainly going after the media and appears to be reinventing herself. I don't know. I mean, she's been praising Tulsi Gabbard up and down, up and down, up and down, and going after the media for their attacks on Tulsi Gabbard. But I don't know. There's something there. I still don't totally trust her. But I wasn't going to say no, necessarily. She had done this interview with Ghislaine Fetterman. Not Ghislaine, sorry. Giselle Fetterman. Ghislaine Maxwell is meeting with the feds as we speak, by the way. And anyway, she had this interview and she promoted it. And then now it's like it's everywhere and it's all over the place. And like, I don't know. I mean, she was originally going to come on a couple days ago before the interview dropped. And I thought that would kind of be interesting maybe to find out what Fetterman's wife thought of everything. And now that it's out there and it's everywhere, I was like, ah. And then Hulk died. And I was like, I don't really want to talk to her, because if she gets on my nerves, today's not the day for it. You know what I mean? Because like, I'm bummed about Hulk Hogan. So if I'm going to take a risk on somebody, if I'm going to take a roll the dice on a guest who might make me angry, today's not the day to do that. You know what I mean? So anyway, and because I got bumped from Fox News because of Hulk Hogan's death, I was also in a bad mood because of that. So I was one of the people that got bumped because of Hulk dying. And so it was very personal for me in a lot of different ways. And when I get like that, you know I could flip on a dime. My Italian temper can come out, and then, you know, so all bets could be off. But anyway, 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. And Dr. Victoria Coates, though, she always makes me happy. So she'll be on the show later today. And Jack Cittarelli made me happy. That was a great interview. Phil is in Delaware. Phil, what's up, my man?
And good afternoon to you. Heading back from New York, I had a question. If Fox preempted their schedule, what did CNN do? Did they do anything?
Yeah, they took shots at Trump over the time he sued Gawker.
So there was nothing, you know, the guy just died and he was a great guy and they didn't do anything special.
No, worse than that, Phil, they actually started, they used the segment to bring out little Brian Stelter, who is going through puberty, to take shots at Hogan over the Gawker story and the lawsuit. That's what they did.
Oh, jeez. Other thing is, other than that lunatic, has there been anybody from the Democratic Party saying, you know, paying homage?
No, and they won't. If anything, they'll just take shots at Hulk Hogan. Because he was MAGA. You know?
Disgraceful.
I agree.
But people are still supporting him, so they'll run with it.
I agree.
Have a great one. Thank you for all you do.
Thank you for listening, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Here's Brian Stelter. See what I mean? This is how CNN shows. I mean, and this was within minutes of his death. It wasn't even like, you know, the old saying, the corpse isn't even cold yet. That saying. Take a listen.
Well, who was it that kind of ushered in this era of celebrity lawsuits against media outlets? I would say Hulk Hogan is the person that gets that billing. Hulk Hogan was, he decided to sue a blog called Gawker about 10 years ago at this point because Gawker published a sex tape that he was in. This lawsuit worked its way through the courts for years. It eventually bankrupted Gawker. It was a very big trial in Florida at the time. It bankrupted the blog, kicked it out of business. And what we later learned was that the entire lawsuit was bankrolled by billionaire tech entrepreneur Peter Thiel.
So what? Good. Good. Good for him for suing. I would do the same thing. And that's how they chose to cover Hulk Hogan. You know, this is the thing about CNN. They will never understand why people, particularly, I'll put it to you this way. We've said a lot on this show over the years about Howard Stern, right? So I grew up listening to Howard Stern. We've said a lot on the show about Bruce Springsteen. I grew up listening to Bruce Springsteen's music. I'm a Jersey guy. Of course I did, obviously. I mean, I'm pretty sure that at some point or another, at one of my proms, we danced to a Bruce Springsteen song. You know, I'm sure we did. Those guys were always about the working men, right? The working men and women, the blue collar guys, the blue collar gals. They were the ones. And then what happened to both of them? Got rich and then went woke.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.